The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We witnessed history last night, and maybe we will on Sunday night as well. We're out here in Scottsdale, Arizona, ahead of Super Bowl 57. What a matchup we have. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. It might be early, but the fans are already out, and they're celebrating King James. Let's get into it. There's a new all-time leading scorer, and he goes by that name. LeBron passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with a 14-foot jump shot with 10 seconds left in the third quarter against the Thunder. The game stopped for some time for the King to get his flowers, and after finishing with 38 points, talked to the media after the game. We'll get that sound for you guys in just a bit. Meanwhile, back here on First Take, of course, Mad Dog Stephen A. and J.J. Redick is with us in New York. I want to start with you here, Stephen A. Where does LeBron rank when you consider the GOAT in basketball?
Well, for me, it has been, it is, and will always be, at least for the foreseeable future, number two all time behind Michael Jordan. I put him ahead of Kareem, although Kareem has a better resume. Six titles, six MVPs, you know, 19-time All-Star, all-time leading scorer until last night. The only person with the one unstoppable move, all of that kind of thing. But LeBron's versatility, the completion of his game, you know, post-game, mid-range game, developed the three-point shot, obviously can handle, exceptional passer, a savant on the basketball court, his basketball IQ, and the kind of things that he could do inside or out. Kareem needed help, obviously, with Magic and others getting him the ball. That wasn't LeBron James. And so I look at LeBron James, and I put him ahead of that. But I don't put him ahead of Jordan, and it's not just because of less titles, less scoring championships, less NBA Finals MVPs, less all defensive team. It's not just because of that. Here's what I do. When you look at the totality of one's career, if you took LeBron and you omitted Dallas and everything before, and you started at the Miami Heat championship or when they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you have a better argument. But we don't get to do that. We have to take everything into consideration. And what LeBron had to learn in terms of that killer instinct and in terms of what he brought to the table in fourth quarters and in terms of that killer assassin, I think that he was lacking that earlier in his career. Michael Jordan never lacked that. Michael Jordan lacked teammates. Michael Jordan lacked a couple of other things, you know, people around him, that kind of thing. But he never lacked that. It was, you never looked at Michael Jordan and said, the Bulls lost because of him. You looked at Cleveland. You looked at Miami in the first year and felt like they didn't win because of LeBron James. That never happened. And so when I take all of those things into consideration, although it's a worthy conversation, and clearly debatable out of respect to LeBron James, I will always have Michael Jordan at number one, LeBron James as number two on the Mount Rushmore of basketball.
Well, listen, this is not the day to really put LeBron any lower than two. So I could argue Kareem. I could argue Russell, won 11 championships in 13 years, who never came up small in a big game. But that is what Stevie said there. The difference between LeBron and Jordan is simply the fact that Jordan was an assassin. When you needed a big basket to win a game, he never failed you. When you needed free throws to make in a big game, he never failed you. He won six championships, and the times that he lost, once to Orlando, he was coming back off baseball, to Detroit earlier in his career, he never had any help out of Pippen. Jordan never let you down. LeBron got away with it a second time, by the way. Dallas, we know he was terrible in the fourth quarter in these games, awful, the year that Nowitzki won. Remember, Ray Allen bailed him out. Because if Ray Allen did not make that three off the botched offensive rebound in game six against the Spurs, oh, he was terrible in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, but he was great in game seven.
He
was great in game seven.
This is game six.
I know that, but he was great in game seven.
And if he doesn't make that sixth game, that shot, we are going to sit there and say, geez, can LeBron make a shot in the fourth quarter? Because he was bad in that fourth quarter. Now, listen, this is not the day. I know I like to play devil's advocate at some. I'm not stupid. I mean, he's 38 years of age. He's an incredible player. He does everything. He's got a phenomenal body, takes good care of himself. I mean, he's a good guy. I think if I had a little group of kids and I wanted somebody to show up and sort of be fun for 20 minutes, I'd much rather have him. Jordan would tell you how he'd try to beat you. He'd tell you how great he is. He'd be shooting 50-footers over 10-year-old kids. LeBron would get down and shake your hands. I love the LeBron. But if you're going to be fair about it, and you're going to analyze this from basket by basket, season by season, and player by player, you have to take Jordan first. Because Jordan never, and I saw everybody, and this is going back to college, when he made the shot to beat Georgetown, he never, ever let you down as a great player. Never. And LeBron did. Because of that, Jordan, in my eyes, like Stevie, is one.
Yeah. I want to answer the question. I just want to point something out to Mad Dog in reference to the Ray Allen shot that bailed out LeBron. Are you saying that John Paxson didn't bail out MJ and that Steve Kerr didn't bail out MJ in the NBA Finals? Paxson actually did it twice. He had an 8-for-8 game against the Lakers, then again with the Suns. Steve Kerr, of course, against the Utah Jazz. I just want clarification on that.
Two things. That was an elimination game for LeBron against the Spurs. Jordan's were not. He was up 3-2. There's a big difference with 3-2 than 3-2 trailing. Okay. So I would use that as my example.
Look, Michael Jordan gave a great interview back in 2009 to our colleague Michael Wilbon. And he said, I don't want the title of the greatest player ever because that would be disrespectful to the greats that came before me. And I tend to agree with that. I tend to think there's greatest players of an era or the greatest player of a generation. LeBron and MJ didn't play against each other. LeBron and Kareem didn't play against each other. So it's really hard to decipher. And as we alluded to, and I think it's important that Stephen A. brought this up in the previous hour, there are different rule changes. There is a different pace. Wilt's numbers were a little bit inflated because everybody missed shots. You know, second lowest decade in terms of league-wide average field goal percentage. Also the most pace for a decade in league history. So he's going to grab a lot of rebounds. He's going to score a lot of points. Like, there are different things that happen in each era that dictate statistics. I think LeBron in some ways gets a bad rap for the 4-6 record. He was not LeBron as we know him in that Dallas series. Mad Dog, that is more than fair. That 07 team, you brought up a killer instinct. The 25 points in a row against the Detroit Pistons, who had won the Eastern Conference and won an NBA championship and been to 5 straight Eastern Conferences. Like, that's a killer instinct to me. That was 07. That Cleveland Cavaliers team was ahead of its time a little bit in terms of where people thought they would not necessarily be a contender that year. And then we go to 15. He loses to the Golden State Warriors when they won their first championship. Kyrie and Kevin Love are out. Gives a valiant effort. 17 and 18. He's playing against what I think is one of the two best teams of all time in those Kevin Durant, Steph Curry Warriors, along with the Bulls the second time around in their three-peat. So I think some of the stuff you guys are bringing up is great. I just want to point out one thing. He's gonna become the first player ever and probably the only player ever to have 40,000 career points, 10,000 rebounds, 10,000 assists. I saw Keyshawn Johnson early this morning say he's the most complete player he's ever seen. I tend to agree with that. In terms of where he is, GOAT, if Michael's your 1A, LeBron's 1B to me. And I would put Kareem as the third guy as well. You can argue all day. If you're doing a Mount Rushmore of the NBA, you can argue all day about who that fourth guy is. For me, those three guys have separated from the next, call it 5 or 6 players, in terms of resume, impact on the game, statistical achievements, all of that stuff.
I agree with you. I think it's MJ, Jordan. I'm sorry. I think it's MJ, LeBron, Kareem, and then everybody else. That's how I feel.
We're up against it. We got to leave it there. JJ, thank you so much. Bringing the knowledge and the heat, as always, and looking forward to having you on the show a lot more once we return from Super Bowl. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Has as great a personality as he does a player. Jamal Williams rushed for 70 TDs this season, which was the most in the NFL. He also passed Lions legend Barry Sanders for the most rushing TDs in a season in Lions franchise history. It was the first time during his NFL career that Jamal joined the 1,000-yard rushing club, finishing with a total of 1,066. And we welcome the Lions running back Jamal Williams to First Take. Good morning, sir.
Hello.
What's up, man? It's good to meet you, bro.
Nice to meet you, too, for the first time. This is great.
Absolutely.
A lot of enthusiasm. All right, you're 1-6.
Yes.
The Lions never win.
Yes.
You're 1-6, and you came within an eyelash at the end of the year of making the postseason, and you knock off your old team on the last Sunday. Now, that's a hell of a year for the Detroit Lions in 2022.
Yeah, it's a great year, but it still didn't meet our satisfaction. You know, we want to make playoffs and win the Super Bowl. But I'm just grateful for how my teammates play. I'm grateful for the tenacity, the grit to just keep going during adversity. So I'm just grateful for people to be around. When things are going bad, we never falter, we never flinch. And we knew what we can do. So I'm just proud of how we came back and worked.
I love that you're crediting your team. And listen, your coach took a lot of heat. A lot of people knocked him, and he's done a heck of a job. But can I focus on you for a second? Because I'm a huge Barry Sanders fan. He's a legend.
Yeah.
I'm not just in Detroit, everywhere. You broke his record. What did that mean to you?
It means a lot. It's just I'm grateful and I'm humble. I give thanks to my linemen. I give thanks to the tight ends. Everybody blocking for the season who helped me get 17 touchdowns. And it's just not one person, it's everybody. And so for us, we broke Barry Sanders' record. Like, it wasn't just me.
Did you talk to Barry?
Oh, not yet. But he's been DMing me and telling me, like, good job. he reminds me
of... He's the best.
I've heard things like he's like me, a little quiet to himself, minding his own business. So when two people who mind their own business don't really meet, but you know, we got the connection of when we see each other, it's going to be great.
I got to ask you about the coach, because I'm looking at the Detroit Lions squad, and I got to tell you, I didn't have big expectations, no question about it. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't been in the playoffs since 2016. You haven't won a playoff game since 1991.
We expect that.
And I'm looking at Dan Campbell, and I looked at you guys, and I said, damn, they're coming. Mm-hmm. This is a damn good team. And I think he's a damn good coach. And obviously, you're a damn good player. What is it about him that has made this work? Because I don't think we can ignore what we're seeing from the Lions any longer. I expect y'all to make the playoffs next year. And he was a leading candidate for Coach of the Year honors in my mind. Talk to us about what Dan Campbell does for this team and the kind of impact he has on y'all.
Man, BC is a one-of-a-kind coach. He's a player's coach. At the same time, he's going to push you. times where we don't want to put pads on or late in the week or late in the season. You know, pads usually come off on Wednesday. We putting pads on because he knows we need that tenacity. We need that grit to go on in the week to get ready for the game. And he's just a coach who he knows that we don't want to hear to work hard and practice like real hard practices. We don't want to hear that. We want to chill, get to the game. You know what I mean? But he pushes us to be more better men on and off the field and just showing more principles of what you need to do. Sometimes you don't want to do what you need to do. Yeah. You know what I mean? But we get it done and we see the rewards that happen afterwards. And I think that's what makes us follow him even more.
Last game of the year, you guys played 8:30. Mm-hmm. And the Rams play the Seahawks at 4:30. Mm-hmm. And the Rams should have won the game. Now, they knocked you out, Seattle, by winning. And I knew that Lambeau and you, of course, an ex-Packer, you'd still be motivated. But that is a little deflating. Yeah, you didn't seem to be bothered by it whatsoever. You're down 9-3. You came back in the game. 4th-and-2 late in the game. You do a little flea flicker to get first downs. The Lions played that game very loosey-goosey. And that was a disheartening scenario with Seattle knocking you out early in the day. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I didn't even know. I didn't watch the game because I wanted to make sure I was motivated.
You had no idea about the game?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wasn't ready for none of that Rams game. I didn't want to hear it, none of it. I just want to make sure I was ready for my game or in our game against the Packers. And it was great. I feel like y'all say we was loosey-goosey. I think that's just our offense. That's just us. Y'all think is we just going reckless a little bit? Nah, those flea flickers, we was ready to get them out there, you know? But it's just more of us just getting them going. Now, you know, teams already look at us like a tricky team. You know, watch out for fourth downs, watch out special teams. But we becoming a full package now because we're not afraid to make those shots. And that's why I love DC, too. He loved making shots.
But I got a two-part question for you here. Number one, you played your first 4 years in the league in Green Bay, which means you were a teammate of Aaron Rodgers. When you were on the field with him in a regular season finale, did you get the impression, what kind of impression did you get about where he was? Did you get the feel like this was his last game in Green Bay, this was it, but he might retire? Or do you see him going somewhere else?
I see him doing the Tom Brady and just keep playing. And going, you know, probably a different team. But I just see him playing, you know. I don't know what team he's going to be on. That's not my position to say. That's my brother. Love him. Respect his decision and choice. Right. I just want him to be happy. Yeah. But I think he's still going to be playing, though.
Right.
The latest theory is Vegas. I'm sure there'll be something different we're talking about tomorrow. But obviously, you led the league in rushing touchdowns, I mentioned earlier. A lot of the reason I feel like Philly's even in the Super Bowl was their rushing game.
Yeah.
What makes them so good?
Real versatile. Quarterback at first, you know. Just having a quarterback that can run changes the game, changes the momentum and the mental of a defense. If they know your quarterback can run, it stops all that bull rushing. They got to start playing a little contained, more conservative. And then don't forget you got three running backs that can run the ball, get north, make plays, make people miss. And then, you know, A.J. Brown, you got, you know, all these receivers too. Ooh. That's a lot of people. And then you ain't even talking about – I'm more impressed with Eagle defense than anything just because I like the line.
So are you taking the Eagles? Who are you picking to win the Super Bowl?
I'm taking the Eagles. I'll take the Eagles. And it's solely just because I like – like I play running back, but I like defense too. And I like D-linemen. I like linebackers that like to hit because I like to run into them and see what they're about. But, yeah, their defense is great. I love their D-line the most just because of the tenacity. Like, if I was doing scouting on them, I'd be like, oh, I got to get him. I got to watch him. You know, it's just so many people you got to watch out for and key players that can go off at any time. So I just like the Eagles.
What are your expectations next year when you look at the NFC North? I mean, you guys lost Hockenson. He goes to Minnesota. Mm. I didn't have much faith in Minnesota. I knew they'd fold like a cheap pet. That's what they did. But when I'm looking at the NFC North next year, it gets very, very interesting, particularly with y'all, Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers stays, and, of course, Minnesota. What are your thoughts?
No, it don't matter. We taking the North. The change has started. Like, the tide of the season change has started. So, that's what I'm saying.
And you kept the offensive coordinator.
No.
He's very good. He almost took the Carolina job, and he's a good offensive coordinator, is he not?
Oh, yeah, he is. He is. I'm glad to have Ben. Ben is a funny dude. Just every day he comes in with the right energy, comes in the right positivity. And he, you know, he more of the risk taker than we are sometimes. You know what I mean? But you know how players being the coach's ear, hey, run this play. We need to get this going. Ben already doing it. You know what I mean? Ben already wants that those type of plays out there. So I'm just grateful to have him as an OC too.
Okay. And Goff. Give Goff credit.
I was getting ready to bring him up and just ask a simple question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll give him credit.
You a believer?
Of JG? Yeah, you just got.
Yeah, I asked.
Yeah, JG did his thing this year.
He did.
He started Rocky. That's my dog. I'm not going to lie, my boy.
I know. Okay.
Started Rocky, but then he got his confidence, and then he started balling. Okay. You can't, right. you can't think you know a book already. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes he just need pages. He just need to develop and keep going. But JG is a great player, and all he needs sometimes is just people who believe in him,
okay.
People who gonna give him the right energy, the positive energy.
Well, Coach Campbell, DC gonna do that.
Hell yeah,
DC. Absolutely. I mean, he can motivate a cockroach.
Yeah, Skippy. He's something else.
Jamal, thank you so much for being with us. You had a heck of a season individually and as a team. Huge congrats. I only need one more thing from you. I need to try those frames on once we go to commercial break.
All right, can I do one thing?
Yeah.
Can I do a shout out real quick?
Sure.
Shout out to my friends back home in the IE. Everybody, the IE 99, same way backwards. Shout out to the fam. I appreciate everybody. Shout out to the fans. I thank everybody. Yeah. And shout out to the nerds. Anime forever. Remember that. We went here. Nerds forever, baby. I love y'all. All right, we good.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We now welcome an all-pro receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, Deebo Samuel. The crowd is all fired up. Deebo, you and I have something in common. My bank's also Wells Fargo. So joining us on behalf of Wells Fargo's Big Game Food Report. Thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Deebo, I'm going to let Stephen A. handle the quarterback thing. You know what really impressed me in the Eagle game? I was so impressed. I said to myself, boy, if I ever have him on, I got to ask it. You are returning kicks. Your team's getting killed. You're coming off an injury, and you're back there returning kicks to try to make a big play to give the offense a little break. In that situation, I know you do a lot of the kick and punt returns anyway, but it's 31-7, and you're out there returning. I was so impressed, and that is what makes a great athlete. So I wanted to make sure I said that to you first. How about that? I mean, how many kicks do you kickoff returns? I was so impressed with that. And that's why, and then last year in Green Bay, you had to carry him in a snowstorm with the great rushing. Those two things impressed me the most
Well, first of all, you know, you don't hear me say this too often, but, you know, we're on the set right now is one of my favorite players in the NFL. Somebody that I think, despite his all-pro status, is still vastly underappreciated, underpaid. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That's how I feel about this brother right here. I want to ask you, because it's rare in my career as a journalist and a personality that I've ever been as sad as I was for the NFC Championship game, because I'm like four quarterbacks lost in one season. I've never seen it, ever. I just put in perspective what y'all emotional state of mind was like when y'all lost that AFC Championship game for the obvious reasons that y'all lost.
I mean, as you go back and look at it, it's just crazy. Kind of like you stated, even talking to Kyle about it during his career of coaching, he said he never seen anything. And even talking to his dad, he ain't seen nothing like it either. So it's just like, I mean, the team was beat up. The team was down. You know, the team was sad. But it really didn't hit as hard as it's supposed to, if that makes sense. Because at the end of the day, we knew, like, when we lost both our quarterbacks, it's like, what are we going to do? It's kind of like you really don't have a chance at this point. So, I mean, it hurt for sure. But I wish we took one more quarterback into that game, and it probably would have been a different outcome.
Mm. Well, two things about it that's very fascinating. First off, he doesn't catch the ball on the first drive. That's fourth and three. You'd have the ball at the 35-yard line at 0-0. Probably got to call a timeout there to have them take a look at that. Secondly, you caught a pass to the 40-yard line right before the half.
That was sick.
And then the next ball, it hits them in the face mask. And the game is only 14-7. And you get the ball start of the third quarter. You go kick a field goal there, and it's possible you could still win that football game.
Right.
Give me your thoughts. Go ahead, both
man,
of them.
Man, you know, when you have away games, you know, they're not going to show the replay a million times on the Jumbotron. So I even talked to Kyle about that. So I'm like, Kyle, you know, did you think it was a catch? He was like, no. But then when they showed the replay on the Jumbotron, it looked like he caught the ball. That's why he didn't throw the flag. And then, I mean, bro, it was just so many mistakes that was made out there on the field from all sides of the ball. And if we would have minimized them, it would have been closer than what it was.
How about the face mask, the ball hitting off Johnson's face mask in that last drive before the half?
Say it again?
The face mask, when the snap hit Josh Johnson, the face mask.
I didn't even know it had hit him in the face. You know, I'm playing receiver. I'm out there running around, moving. I just hear people start screaming, and I'm just like, oh, shit, the ball on the floor.
No, I got to tell you, and listen, as great of a coach as Kyle Shanahan is, you know, I've been critical of him in the second half of Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator in Atlanta, obviously the Super Bowl against Kansas City. But my respect for him, as big as it was, elevated big time with this season. To see him go from Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy and to be in that NFC Championship game and to watch the leadership that he exhibited as a head coach, I can't say enough about him. And I ask this question in all honesty, no disrespect to the Eagles, because we know they're a legit team, they're big time, and we understand who they are. But as you sit here as a San Francisco 49er, reflecting on this season, what is the mentality of the team when it comes to, we got to get a quarterback? Are y'all saying, okay, Purdy and Trey going to be healthy? Do we need to go out and get somebody else? What's the thinking and what's the kind of things y'all have expressed to Kyle Shanahan, and by the way, John Lynch, who's done an exceptional job as an executive? What's the kind of thing y'all have been saying?
As crazy as this may sound, our players, we don't get into all that. You know, we do what we're supposed to do. We control all the things that we can control. The quarterback situation and going to get somebody, that's not like our job. So as much as we trust Kyle, as much as we trust John, I mean, to get us where right. We've been through these past 4 years, I mean, we believe in them so much. Like, right. The team just thinks, like, there's no input to be said.
So you chilling in Super Bowl week here in Arizona, and you're going to go to some parties, and you run into a couple of quarterbacks that might be available, and you ain't got nothing to say to them.
I'm going to say what's up. That's all I got for
them. Did you learn?
Can I ask one more thing about the quarterback threat? Because Kyle Shanahan did say that he doesn't see any scenario where Jimmy G's back on your team. So we do have that definitively. What was your reaction when you heard that?
It was kind of crazy. I mean, being in this league, you know, you see a lot, you hear a lot. And, you know, Jimmy's been a great guy since I've been around. Great guy, good guy to be around, good quarterback. But there comes a point in time where, you know, you have to let certain people go. I mean, the team that we have this year, we're not going to have everybody. It's not just Jimmy. You got a lot of free agents that we have to pay, and some people might end up somewhere else. I mean, that's just how the league works.
Well, damn it, as long as you ain't going nowhere. All right, let's make sure of that.
Last 2 years, the Niners lost a championship game on the road. The kid doesn't drop the pass in the Ram game. You probably would have won the damn Super Bowl 2 years ago.
But early on in the game, we would have won a game, too. You can't just blame it on one incident.
No, I know that. But, I mean, still, you got the two.
Is Doggy making you sick to your stomach?
No.
I'm bringing up all these painful moments.
I'm good at that. But two championship games on the road. So that home field for the Niners is significant. Give me some thoughts about that as far as thinking about next year is concerned. And make sure the championship game is in Levi Strauss.
Oh, yeah. As you look back early on in this year, like, we lost two games that, you know, no one's supposed to lose. Us as a team don't supposed to lose. I mean, so we kind of put ourselves in two bad spots 2 years back to back. We started 3-5 last year and had to play like every game was like the playoffs from there on. And then, you know, this year, Trey go down. We like, what's going on? Then Jimmy comes in. He go down. We like, bro, like, what are we going to do? And then you got Purdy come in and we win 12 straight. I mean, we just put ourselves in positions not to be at home, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I get it.
Back-to-back years, could you speak on behalf of the Stephen A's of the world of how beautiful it was for you guys to beat the Dallas Cowboys back-to-back years to send them home with that beautiful feeling? I mean, I can't imagine that it wasn't a beautiful feeling to send home America's team 2 years in a row.
It hit a little different for me because all my family members, everybody back home love the Cowboys.
Yeah, ain't that something?
So, like, you know, two back-to-back years, you rub it in their face a good bit, if that makes, you know what I'm saying? So, I love it. I love it. You know, I love the noise. We love all the noise that lead up to it. You see, like, the team that we have, the team that Kyle and John built, we don't get into much all the talking trash before games start. Like, you know, we put the pads on, strap the helmet up, and we go out to work.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating here, too, because you played the Chiefs this year, and you saw Philly. Now, I'll ask this question based on the Chiefs. They scored a ton of points against a great defense. Will that offense and Reed be able to score points against the Eagles' defense for what they do on Sunday afternoon?
In the nicest way, we didn't really get to see how good the Eagles' defense was, if that makes sense.
Oh, I agree.
We had them schemed up. We had them dialed up. I mean, you know, what a coincidence we don't have a quarterback. But speaking on, since we're on a Super Bowl situation, I want the Eagles to win. I'm gonna tell you why, because my guy AJ, like how much work, how much effort, and how much time that he put into the game and the relationship that we've built before we even got drafted, like I want to see him get one.
Well, let's give props to AJ Brown, who's one of the elite receivers in the game of football, no doubt about that. But in all fairness, let's speak to the idiocy of the Tennessee Titans for letting them go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay?
Can't let them go like
you
that.
You can't let AJ Brown walk away from Tennessee. No wonder why they collapsed. No wonder, and they deserved it.
100%. So you think Kansas City will score points here in this game or not?
Yeah, they're going to score points regardless. That's what they're going to do.
Well, let me ask you this. When you talk about how you schemed the Eagles up pretty good, and obviously the quarterback situation, you know, made it impossible for y'all to execute, how do you, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, how do you beat the Eagles?
You go at the back end. All game long, you go at the back end. Mm. If you're going at them guys up front, it's going to be a long day.
That's right.
Because them boys up front, they real, they legit.
Right. Protect the passer and attack the passer, and attack the secondary.
You protect the passer and you get back down the back end.
Don't try to run too much.
No, don't play action pass all game long.
That's right.
All right, we could talk to you all day, but we're up against it. Tell us what you're doing with Wells Fargo.
So we here with Wells Fargo at the Agri-Food Institution is in, which is crazy because all the food prices are dropping. I'm a big wing eater, so, I mean, hey, when it's time to eat, it's time to eat.
What's your favorite type of wing?
Them lemon pepper going to do it.
Lemon pepper's nice.
Solid. Debo, thank you so much for being with us. Give it up for Debo.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Got to get you a quarterback.
I'm so sad.
And you boys will be good to go. So too much heartbreak. Sorry we so kept bringing sad. It up.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You
epic.
Get it live,
it's epic.
In person,
it's
buckle
epic.
Up. I should be looking at the camera, but
on.
I have to talk to the
Hold
people.
Hold on, before you start, take a deep breath after each take.
Yeah.
There you go.
Stretch it out, baby. Okay. Settle down.
Go.
Okay, Doug.
Everybody.
Tell me where you're at, number one.
Number one is Dan Orlovsky. He works for us. Did you see this quarterback list?
Where is Adam? And how about the father of quarterbacks, Johnny Unitas?
Oh,
he doesn't have these guys in the top five. Brady, Marino, Manning, no Montana. 4-0 in this game. Never an interception. The best fourth quarter quarterback I've ever seen. Where is Joe Montana? And how about Unitas? Awful, awful, awful. Orlovsky, number
one. Wait, can I just tell the audience one thing?
Yes,
he's sober. I want you to know that, okay?
Let's say this. I'm with you on the Joe Montana thing. Do you have to bring up Otto Graham? Do you have to bring up Johnny Unitas? I mean, come on. Come on. That's number one. Go ahead.
How about Aaron Rodgers? He's going to go in a cave to tell us when he's going to make a decision. Are you kidding me? I'm going to take a five-day retreat to a cave. Are you nuts? And I'll tell you something else. Did you see Aaron Rodgers this week at the Pro-Am at the AT&T? Do you know that he cheated? What? He won the Pro-Am. He said he was a 10 handicap. He's a 3 handicap. 3. And he won by a stroke. You know what that means? That means when he goes to that 8th hole, he gets a shot. A bogey, he wins the hole. And he was all excited. I'm now on the wall in Pebble Beach. The man cheated.
That's true.
I got nothing to say. Hold on.
My goodness.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I said earlier, dog, you're a good interviewer, but you're even better at getting mad.
Come on.
What's number
good.
Three?
No, comeback from that. You did good.
I almost quit. You want me another one?
No, another one.
Do you have any more left in the tank?
You got one. He's got one.
Do you have anything left in you?
He's got one.
Kyrie Irving.
I feel disrespected. Kyrie Irving. Are you kidding me? He went to a birthday party and missed the road trip 2 years ago. For crying out loud. What a disgrace. I feel he made $40 million a year. Disrespect me like that for crying out loud. To me, and he's going to agree, that is a disaster. Never got vaccinated, killed his team, left the rent hanging, and goes to Dallas. Now I can be appreciated. You know what? I hate to say it. Don't let the door kick you in the rear end on the way out. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay.
I'm just going to exit stage left and distance myself from that situation.
Take a bow.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The crowd's getting a little louder. Thank you guys so much for coming out, hanging with us here today as we get set for Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. The party's just getting started. This is day one. Most on the line in this Super Bowl matchup?
I think it's Andy Reid. I think, you know, Sirianni's his first go around. You know, Hurts a young player. Mahomes has already won one. You know how great he is. You know, Reid is only 1-2 in the Super Bowl. He lost to the Patriots. He lost, obviously, badly to New England. You don't want a 1-3 record. And I think with Mahomes there, and he's against his old team,
I think he's – everybody loves him, so he's not going to get a lot of abuse. He's going to the Hall of Fame. But I think from a pressure standpoint, if I had to find somebody, I'll put it on the Kansas City head coach.
Okay.
Well, first of all, it's supposed to be a debate show, but we're going to agree on this one because I think it's important. You bring up the potential of a 1-3 record in the Super Bowl. I'll bring up the inordinate amount of times he's been in championship games. The fact of the matter is that Andy Reid went to about 4 or 5 NFC championship games when he was the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles over a 10-year period. He had one Super Bowl appearance to show for it, not a Super Bowl title. In the entire Donovan McNabb era, we saw T.O. get injured and then come back, miss the playoffs, but come back for the Super Bowl, play lights out, but it wasn't good enough to knock off the New England Patriots. This time, he's in Kansas City. He's got a superstar in Patrick Mahomes, who, as a starter, has been to 5 consecutive AFC championship games to start off his career. This is his first, this is his third Super Bowl appearance. Obviously, again, 5 appearances in the conference championship game, and he's won a Super Bowl. He lost the Super Bowl, but I'm looking at Andy Reid, and I'm saying you've been knocking on the door. When we talk about the greats, you bring up Lombardi. We'll bring up Parcells. We'll bring up Belichick. I go back to the days of Chuck Knoll, who's got 4 Super Bowl championships. Bill Walsh, another. You see these guys and what they bring to the table. If you are Andy Reid, you've been knocking at the door, knocking at the door, knocking at the door all the time. And if you lose this Super Bowl, remember, you lost to Bill Belichick, okay? And then when you won, obviously you beat Kyle Shanahan. You lost another Super Bowl. You're going to lose to Nick Sirianni. That's how it'll be looked upon in coaching circles anyway.
Can I rip through another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Most important non-quarterback in the Super Bowl matchup.
For each team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the Eagles, I'm going to say the tight end, Goddard.
Okay.
I don't think the Chiefs and Spagnuolo are going to allow A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They're going to get their chances, but I don't think he's going to allow them to beat him. And Goddard is a very good player. And on those 3rd and 6 plays where you need to get 7 yards for a first down, Hurts is going to go to him. He did in the early stages of the Giant game. He did in the early stages of the 49er game on that first drive. I think Goddard, he's not a sexy choice, but I think he is very, very significant for Philadelphia. And obviously, I'm going to say Kelce. I think both tight ends. I think Kelce for the Chiefs, he can't have 5 catches, 45 yards. All right? The receivers are banged up. They've got a lot of receivers. Kelce's going to have to, they got a big pass rush, so he's going to be moving a lot. Kelce's got to have his, Stevie knows, he's got to have his 9 to 10 catches, 100 yards, catch a touchdown pass, get those first downs, find those little gaps. I'll say the both tight ends most important in this
game.
Well,
I will say to you, I will agree with you with Kelce. Kelce, I believe, is the best tight end in football. He is a surefire first ballot future Hall of Famer. He is just a spectacular tight end. But more importantly, Deebo Samuel's highlighted why he's going to be so important, because he believes that the way to attack the Eagles is to attack the back end, this secondary. You can't do that if Kelce's not giving you anything. If Kelce gives you something, then the Eagles got to pay more attention to him. That's going to free up those wideouts on the back end, whether it's a Juju Smith-Schuster, assuming he's able to come back, a Valdez Scantling and others, Kadarius Toney. These guys are going to have to make some noise on the back end of that secondary against the Philadelphia Eagles to make things happen. On the Eagles side, I will tell you this. It comes down to A.J. Brown to me. I think stars show up. I think A.J. Brown is a star. He is a big-time wide receiver. There comes a point in time, despite the fact that they can run the football, you got an offensive line, you got tight ends and all of this other stuff. A.J. Brown is a stud. Be one in the biggest game.
Prediction.
Yeah, I'll give you one. Stevie doesn't have to do it now. I'll give you one, and I'm going to go back to the Rihanna comment before the show started. This is a different kind of game. This is a game. There's a lot of delays. There's a long halftime. You got to get to 4:30 local to even play the game. Reed's been here a lot. This is 4th Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He knows what to expect. Sirianni has not. And you got to remember Mahomes is coming off a terrible loss. They were terrible 2 years ago. And it wasn't his fault, but the offensive line was bad. I think the Chiefs have a little chip on their shoulder. I'm going to take Kansas City.
You got to score?
They're going to have to score to win. I'll say 31-28 Chiefs.
Okay, that's what it is. Hey, Arizona, give it up for Mad Dog.
You guys did a great job.
Is he put on a show or what? Hey, listen, I don't want to gas you up, but you were phenomenal.
I got YouTube.
Started with the interview.
bestseller. What else can I say? I'll see you in the morning, okay?